Wow. So good. Thanks to our staff, our team, elders, leaders, all that. I'm just curious. I mean, I looked at Pastor Marty, our guest, and I'm like, we've never done a middle of the summer conference ever here. And I said, I looked around and I'm like, my gosh, there's a lot of people here. And I mean, don't Wisconsinites know it's summer? You know, I don't know. I think we have some hungry people here. Would you agree? Yes. Yeah. Me too. Well, I want to get to our speaker, who, as I mentioned, is a great friend of mine. There are moments in my walk with God where there are people I will turn to and go, "Oh Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Help!" And I'll get on the phone and I'll call them, and God uses them. And Pastor Marty is one of them. My journey with Pastor Marty started, what was probably about three or four, almost 4 years ago. And it started with the Lord waking me up one night, and I had been to a conference in Bethel, Reading. How many of you know of Bethel, Reading and their Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry out there? And I had been to a conference, and I just was stirred, and I'm like, man, you know, it'd be great to get one of their leaders there to come and help us out, because I don't have a clue I know what your heart is, but help. And so I emailed one of their leaders. How many of you have heard of a guy by the name of Chris Vallotton? Name ring a bell? Okay. So I had this wild idea. I'm like, I'm gonna just for giggles, I'm just gonna email him and see if he might come here. And to be honest, I didn't know him, so I was like, well, I'll just see what happens. So I thought, well, you know, they're pretty busy. I may never hear from him again. Well, I actually heard from him he returned my email. He says, due to my itinerary schedule, I just can't make it. But he says, I've got this guy named Marty. And so I'm like, I don't know Marty from Adam. Lord, are you in this? And I heard a resounding, yeah, invite him. And he came three or four years ago, came to a conference, a Destiny conference that we put on. It was a phenomenal thing. And in that conference, we have it still saved to this day. He gave a prophetic word over our house, and he was talking about the battles that were fought from Bethel, Reading, which, by the way, Chris Vallotton is his father-in-law. He said the battles and the inheritance that, and I don't remember it, Marty, it's like burned in my head. The battles we fought, the inheritance we have, we impart to you. And then he said, the inheritance we impart to you. And one of that was he saw buildings being given to us. And at first I'm like, man, that's a nifty prophecy. I like that. I don't know if I believe it, but I kind of do. But like, I believe you. I trust you. And then long story short, I mean, for any of you who know that, I don't have time to get into it, but if any of you know, for us to even be in this facility, nothing short of a miracle. And he prophesied that, and we've had a number of different prophecies. And anyway, that divine connection is one of the many reasons why we're here tonight. And I can't thank him enough for what he imparts and just the encouragement. So I don't want to waste any more of your time. Let's give honor where honor's due and welcome Marty Conovo.
Well, I want you to know that I actually met my wife before Chris Vallotton was famous. So I just want you to know that. In fact, I used to work for Chris, so you guys can extend a hand to me and pray for me right now. No, he's amazing. I love him. We're in California, on the coast of California, a little town called Eureka. Anybody heard of Eureka before? Wow, that's impressive. Yeah, about 4 hours north of San Francisco. It was totally God how we got there, and probably sometime over the course of the week I'll tell you more stories about that. But we have been there for almost 20 years now, which is pretty amazing to me. When I moved there, I told the Lord I'd be there for four, and 20 years later, I'm not going anywhere because God Jehovah sneakied me, and so I'm stuck there. I have two kids. I have a daughter named Misha, who is 21 years old, and she is in college. She's studying to be a psychologist, and she's a smart kid, loves Jesus. And I have a son who just graduated high school and is moving in 2 weeks to go to college. So we're a little heartbroken. We love our son. We love our daughter too, but we are going to miss him. She lives with us, so we don't have a chance to miss her yet. But my son, I just want to shamelessly plug, is my retirement program. He's an amazing football player, and he's going to play football in college, and so we're praying for the retirement program to come about. So we love him dearly. He's amazing. And so we have a unique little situation. When I moved to Fortuna, which is just south of Eureka, about 20 years ago, we were pastoring in a little church. In fact, I was the youth pastor in a little church called Calvary Christian Center. And over the course of time, God has added to our number. We now on Sunday mornings run three church services in three different places. And we have another service that we run on Sunday nights. And so we're busy. We have a lot going on. It's called Lifehouse, if you haven't heard of that. And so it's a great place. I serve with some of the most amazing people. In fact, one of them will be here tomorrow, Scott Thompson. Some of you guys may have heard of Scott. He speaks at Jesus Culture regularly. I'm excited for him to be here because you guys are going to get blessed. He's one of my favorite preachers to listen to. And I am not just saying that. I really mean that. So I'm excited. And in fact, I'm really excited because normally we're on different campuses and I don't get to hear him preach. So for a couple days, I get to listen to Scott, which will be awesome. So cool. All right. Well, you guys, I'm assuming you're ready because you're here on a Wednesday night. Right? I'm not sure what I'm going to do for the next two nights. We're going to let the Holy Spirit figure out what we're doing. I have a plan, but it's subject to change. One of the things that we've been going after that the Lord actually has been doing in me, if you know me at all, I am a go with the flow kind of person. I am at my strength finders. One of my strengths is adaptability. So I can adapt in any situation, which is good, but how many know your strength is also your weakness? And so the Lord's been talking to me about living with purpose. And so I want to talk to you about that tonight. And tonight we're going to talk about, basically we're going to define what purpose looks like. And then tomorrow I want to go after being powered by purpose. And we're going to, actually tomorrow night, I want to open up a time where we can have just a fresh baptism in the Holy Spirit. Anybody want to sign up for that? That would be amazing, right? It's good. How many know it doesn't just have to happen one time? You actually get to be filled with the Spirit on a regular basis, which is really good. Okay, so let's pray because that is the spiritual thing to do. And then we'll see what God's up to. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this house. I thank you for the family. I just feel like family when I come here. There is just a resonating, familiar spirit in this place. And Father, I pray that you would bless Elevation Church. I pray that you would bless the churches in this area, that you would do a work of unity in this community that would totally shock this whole area, that churches would begin to work together, that they would begin to see beyond their differences, that they would begin to unite under the banner of Jesus, and that the Holy Spirit would invade Green Bay, that the Holy Spirit would be just pervasive throughout this community, God. And God, I thank you for what you're going to do. And so, Lord, tonight, I pray that you would send fire on the sacrifice. Send fire on the sacrifice. We're here tonight. We could be doing other things, but we love you and we want to be with you. And so tonight, Lord, we just ask that you would come and just pour out on us, Lord. We just receive all that you have. And for me, Lord, I pray that you would say things through me that I'm not even saying, that you would just speak and help me out. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been up since 4:30 this morning, which is not my norm. So if I say weird things, I apologize in advance. So here's what I want to do. I want to start by looking at some definitions that I think are going to help us. The first one, I want you to turn to John chapter 17. And I'm warning you, we're going to bounce around a little bit. So turn to John chapter 17. I love it when Scripture defines things for us, so we don't have to create weird theology. It just really helps us to be grounded and rooted in what God wants to say to us, right? I grew up in very conservative Christianity. My parents got saved in 1979. My dad was a professional hockey player, was playing for, at the time, doesn't exist anymore, but the Atlanta Flames. And my parents were on the verge of getting a divorce. And my mom went to a Bible study. And she went not for spiritual reasons, but the person who was hosting the Bible study was very, very rich. And she was curious as to what the home of this kind of rich person would look like. So she went there and she met Jesus. And it totally transformed our family. My dad shortly thereafter got saved. And they got saved in a Southern Baptist church in Atlanta, Georgia. And it just changed the history of our family. But my root system is conservative. And from there, from this, just to give you an idea, from the Baptist church, we went to a Mennonite Brethren church. So you went from conservative to like ultra conservative. But here's the thing about God, like he doesn't care about our labels. He doesn't even care a lot of times about what we think about him. He invades. In fact, when I was in that Mennonite Brethren church, the Holy Spirit totally surprised us and we had a revival in that church. And it's actually one of the reasons I'm in ministry today, because God just rocked us. So I affectionately refer to myself as a Bapticostal. I just combine the two things. I used to think Pentecostals were weird, but now I love it. So, but I like having both of those things mixed together. And so one of the things we didn't understand was the Holy Spirit. Like the book of Acts was like the moon to us. Like we didn't even study it. We just gave it to the Pentecostals. We're like, we don't even know what that book's about. We don't even think any of that stuff is for today. So we never talked about it. We spent a lot of time in Paul's writings and we had our theology together, line on line, precept on precept, right? And then in the middle of having all of our theological ducks in a row, God totally messed with us. And he started introducing us to this person of the Holy Spirit. Do you guys know the Holy Spirit? Yeah, good. Because here's the thing. We discovered the Holy Spirit was actually active from the beginning. See, we thought it was just a New Testament concept, but he's been doing his thing for a long time. Like from Genesis 1, the Holy Spirit's been activated, okay? And the cool thing is we get to have the Holy Spirit living in us. More on that in a minute, okay? But I want to start by talking to you about eternal life, okay? So eternal life for us was everything good that is going to happen to you is going to happen when you're dead, right? Because eternity, here's what evangelism looked like. Where are you going to go when you die? Did anybody ever experience that? Like that's how we evangelized people was, if you left here tonight and a bus hit you and you died, do you know where you'd be going? That was how we evangelized. That's kind of morbid, right? And so eternity to me was like, okay, well, I guess I get to just hold on till I get rescued from this pathetic life that I get to live, right? But then we discovered something through having an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And he showed it. Isn't he practical? He showed it to me in the Bible. Are you in John 17? We're going to look at verse 3. Let's start in verse 1, just because it's good. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. Okay, here it is. This is eternal life. Here's the definition. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus, whom you have sent. Eternal life is not about where you go when you die. Not according to that scripture. It doesn't even talk about that. Here's what eternal life looks like. It looks like you having a divine relationship. In fact, it's an invitation into divine relationship. That's what eternal life looks like. In fact, eternity started the moment you gave your heart to Jesus. Yeah, you're actually living in eternity right now. In fact, because the scripture says that you are seated with him in heavenly places. Okay? You have divine perspective. How many know faith is having heaven's perspective? Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, and this is important because some translations don't say this, but it in original language says, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by the perspective of the Son of God. Eternity is in my heart because I have divine relationship. Okay, that's definition number one. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. I have one student in this room. Dustin Bird, are you here? Why don't you wave your hand, buddy? Dustin could probably quote this because he probably has heard this from me a million times. It's pretty much my life verse. Are you in Romans 14? Okay, so how does this eternity thing play out? How does this work in our lives? Thank you for asking. Let's go after that, okay? Are you in verse 17? Here's the kingdom. Here's the definition number two. Definition number one was eternity. Number two is the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? In the Holy Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit? In you. Where's the kingdom? In you. Okay? The kingdom is in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in you. The kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. Okay? And the result of that is righteousness, peace, and joy. How many need some peace and joy in your life? Okay? A lot of it is us realizing what has happened to us through this divine relationship. We have been made righteous, right? We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? Even Abraham had access to this, right? Because the scripture tells us that Abraham believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. It's opening up the door for us to have this incredible, awesome, life-transforming relationship with God. And the result of that is I live in peace and joy. Peace is to be set at one again. That's what the word means. It's the Greek word eirene. It means to be set at one. It means that your body, your soul, and your spirit are lined up with heaven's purpose. Okay? When we're not living in peace, we are disjointed. We're allowing life to speak louder than truth. When we're not living in peace, we're allowing things that are going on around us. We're allowing the cares of this world. We're allowing relationships. We're allowing broken relationships. We're allowing sickness, disease, everything in our life that seems like totally, you know, out of our control. We're allowing those things to control us. Let me, just because I am thinking about it in the moment, like I told you, I got up at 4:30 in the morning, so it's going to be random thoughts for the next 20 minutes, okay? But a testimony, that was an amazing testimony that Beth told us. We had about a month ago, I want to say, could be less, one of our elders, I got a call at 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and he was being rushed to the hospital. He was having a stroke. And it's never a call that you ever want to get. And so we had just sort of settled in from coming home from church, got in the car, rushed to the hospital. He's not only an elder, he's one of my close, close friends. And so we get there and it seems pretty dire. His eye is moving in places it shouldn't move. His speech is slurred, and it's actually more than slurred. He can't even communicate. So they rush him in to get a CAT scan. And they wanted to make sure that he didn't have a brain bleed, that it was, you know, it wasn't, you know, whatever they were going to treat him wasn't going to make him worse. And so they ruled out that he had a brain bleed, but he was still in a really bad way. And the doctor came out, and the family was in the waiting room, and we were there with them. And the doctor said, listen, what he has is going to take months of recovery. Like, it's going to be months and months. Like, don't expect him to bounce back in 48 hours, because that's just not going to happen. And in fact, we're concerned enough that we may fly him down to the Bay Area because we're not sure that we can handle it. So that's the news we got, right? So they give him this medicine, and I don't even remember what it's called, but it's like supposedly the most amazing clot buster that you could have. And so they gave him this medicine, and he completely shut down. Like, he had some activity before, but now he was like totally gone. So they rush him in again to get a CAT scan, and as they, you know, check him out, make sure there's no brain bleed again, they bring him into the waiting room. He starts to get his faculties back. And of course, during this time, we're praying for him. He's on the prayer list. Everybody's praying for him. And they say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take him. We were in Fortuna. We're going to take him up to Eureka, which is about 20 minutes away. And we're going to prep him, because if anything happens, we got to fly him down south ASAP. So they get him to Eureka, and In the time that they take him to Fortuna, to Eureka, he starts to regain function. Like, to the point that they're amazed at how quickly everything's coming back. They, like, it's unheard of. The doctor's like, this doesn't happen. Remember, he told us he's not going to be better in 48 hours. In fact, what he said is, he's not going to Starbucks in 48 hours. That's what he told me. Okay. I go to see him. This is Sunday afternoon. I go to see him Monday afternoon, and they're talking about discharging him, because he's gotten all of his faculties back. And they've never seen anything like it. In fact, the doctor said it was a miracle. Okay? Listen, this is the power that's working inside of you. Okay? This is what you have access to. And a lot of times, listen, I'm exposed to amazing men of God. I get to be around guys like Bill Johnson and Chris Valentin all the time. They're amazing. But here's what you need to know. The Holy Spirit they have is the same Holy Spirit you have. There is no difference. You didn't get a different version. You got the same version. And the Holy Spirit, here's what they've done that maybe we haven't done as much. They have stewarded that presence. They have valued that presence. Let me tell you a story that will illustrate that. I was at a conference in Reading years ago. This was actually even before I was a pastor. And some of the staff there knows me just because we're around. And I like preaching, but I'm not somebody that likes to be in the front a whole lot. I like to kind of be in the back and doing my thing. And one of the ushers saw me, and he said, I need to get this message to Chris. Could you go up there and give him this message? Now, there's like 1,500, 2,000 people there. And I'm like, I don't want to walk all the way to the front and give him this message. I'm going to be embarrassed. And here's what's going to happen. They're going to stop worship, and I'm going to be standing, and while everybody's sitting, I'm going to be the attraction. I don't want that. And then my second thought was, why don't you give it to him? You work here. That was my other thought. Okay. But he insisted, so I obediently grabbed the message, and I walked up front, and about halfway down the aisle, Bill gets up there and says, okay, we're gonna, everybody sit down. I'm gonna give some instruction on prayer or whatever. And so I get to the front, and literally I'm like crawling to Chris, like, here, take it. So I hand him the message, and the guest speakers there are John and Carol Arnott from Toronto, the airport church in Toronto. So she's sitting next to Chris, and she sees me, and she goes, well, who is this? And Chris is like, oh, that's my son-in-law. You know, I was a pastor, because he said, he's pastors on the coast, and starts telling her a little bit. Well, we should pray for him. So they pray for me. So I was already embarrassed, right? Because they stopped worship, and then they prayed for me, and I have never been hit that hard by the Holy Spirit. I'm on the ground, like, doing weird Holy Spirit gyrations, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this, where the Holy Spirit's moving on you, and inside you're embarrassed. Like, it's awesome, but you're embarrassed by what he's doing. You're like, really? And so that's going on. But here's the part, because I'm telling you about Bill. He walks over to me, and he lays hands on me. But he doesn't lay hands to pray on me, to pray for me, pray on me. Pray on me? Yeah. No. He didn't lay hands to pray. He wasn't praying for me. He was wanting to get whatever the Holy Spirit was doing in me. That's Bill in a nutshell. Wherever the presence of the Lord is, that's where he's going to be. They've learned to steward that presence, okay? And here's the other thing. It's really, really practical how God does those things. Because we make it like, you know, we read the Bible and we look at it from a Hollywood version standpoint. But I think a lot of it was just normal everyday life where the Holy Spirit was invading their life, okay? So another story. We're going to tell stories, okay? So this one's about my father-in-law. This is the kind of thing that the Holy Spirit can do. My son was, I can't remember, he's like 7 or 8 at the time. And he was getting ready for, it was baseball picture day. And my son is very active. He doesn't like to sit in the house a whole lot. And so we lived on a cul-de-sac and I told him, all right, buddy, why don't you go out, burn some energy, go out in the cul-de-sac, go ride your bike, whatever. And when it's picture time, I will come get you and we'll go to the park. So about 45 minutes later, I walk outside to go call Micah and I cannot find Micah anywhere on our little cul-de-sac. And if you're a parent that's ever lost a child, you know that feeling. And I wasn't panicked at first, but 20, 30 minutes later, not finding my kid, I'm starting to freak out. And I remember that his best friend lives around the corner, so maybe he's at his best friend's house. So we walk over to his best friend Caleb's house, and they have not seen him. So 45 minutes, an hour goes by. It's starting to get real. I actually flag down a cop, and I tell him, listen, my son's missing, and, you know, it's the real deal. So in this time, my wife calls my father-in-law, and he tells Jamie to get me on the phone. So I get on the phone, and I'm, like, through tears. I'm like, I don't know where Micah is. And he said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Holy Spirit, where is Micah? And I'm like, I'm thinking, because I am not living in faith at this moment. You're crazy. That's what I'm thinking. And this will not work. And in the next breath, he says, okay, here's what you're going to do. I want you to walk outside and I want you to go to the neighbor. He's like, if you were facing straight ahead, he's the neighbor on your right. I said, okay, I'll walk over there. I walk over to my neighbor who's on my right. And no sooner do I get to his driveway, my son walks out from behind the fence. He had been mowing the lawn for my neighbor and didn't hear me. And that's where he was. How practical is that? Okay. I love that about my father-in-law because he's developed this amazing trust and belief in God that he follows through on what he hears from the Holy Spirit. Okay. How many times have you talked yourself out of what God is telling you? Okay, happens a lot. And part of it is we don't have confidence in the fact that the Holy Spirit will actually speak to us because we think we have all these qualifiers that we have to walk through in order to be, you know, worthy to hear the Holy Spirit on that level. Listen, you have the same Holy Spirit. You have the same ability to do those same things because the Holy Spirit lives in you and the kingdom is within you. And he's invited you into that divine relationship. And not just when we're at a conference on Wednesday night or at church on Sunday or at Bible study or any of those things. He's made it really practical. He loves you so much. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to tell you things that sometimes you don't even know that you want to know. Right? It's amazing the things that he wants to reveal to you. And the kingdom of heaven is in you. Because the Holy Spirit is in you. There's a personal aspect. Tonight we're going to look at the personal aspect, the personal relationship, the personal connection that we have with the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow we're going to see how that works corporately, right? We have a corporate expression of what that looks like, but it starts with our personal expression, okay? Here's where I want to go tonight. Everybody has these three things. You have a calling, you have a gifting, and you have an anointing, okay? You have a calling, a gifting, and an anointing. Your calling is your identity. Your calling is your identity. You have a call that God has placed in your life. It is connected to who he's created you to be, okay? You have gifts. Those are your abilities. Those are the abilities that heaven has invested in you. That's why your connection with the Holy Spirit's really important, because he helps you flow in those giftings, right? And the third one is really, I think, the most important. And that is an anointing. You have an anointing. Turn to 1 John 2:27. I told you we're going to look at definitions tonight. 1 John 2:27. The anointing is connected to your purpose. First John 2:27. And actually, let's start in verse 25. 1 John 2:25. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. There it is again. This is the promise that Jesus made to us, eternal life. What's eternal life? Invitation into divine relationship. Okay? This is the promise. I've invited you into divine relationship. That's the promise. Okay? That's important because watch what happens. Verse 26. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. So there, here in this moment, there are people that are coming in to help make these new believers religious. They're trying to blend the old covenant with the new covenant. They're trying to say, okay, that's great that you have freedom in Jesus, but we need to teach you the right way to worship, right? That's what was going on, okay? So here's what I want to highlight. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. This is a confusing verse for every preacher. I don't know if you heard what I just said. The anointing that rests within you says that you don't need anyone to teach you. What? What am I even doing with my life? Right? No, what's he mean? Okay? He's saying to them, the anointing that you've received is an anointing you have personally received from God. And no one can teach you how to be you. I can't teach how to be you. I can give you personality tests all day long. I can give you assessments all day long, but it doesn't define who you are, right? It gives me ideas. It gives me clues as to who you are, but it doesn't define who you are. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit made you, right? The Holy Spirit working with God and Jesus, they formed you in your mother's womb. They are the manufacturer. They know how you work. You've received an anointing from God that requires you to have connection with the Holy Spirit so that you know how you function in your purpose, because that's what the anointing is. The anointing is your purpose. Here's the problem. We've made our calling our purpose, especially in, and I'm going to say it, Bethel culture. Okay? And I love Bethel culture. I love it. I can't get enough of it. I'm there all the time, not just because I have to, but because I want to. I love the atmosphere that those guys have created. I have amazing fathers in my life. But sometimes what they teach gets misinterpreted. Sometimes what they teach, what we do, we like either or in the church, right? We like going to extremes. We're like, it's all about healing. So we're just gonna pray for the sick all the time. Or it's all about prophecy. We're going to prophesy forever, right? Like, I can't tell you how many times I go to Bethel Conference. I have so many tapes and, you know, because back in the day when they would actually have tapes and they would record the prophetic words and then you would stick it in the glove compartment of your car and they were overflowing, right? And we had so many, we were inundated with prophetic words, okay? And we were hoping that someday we would actually live up to them. Anybody have that experience? Like, I've gotten prophetic words. When is it going to come to pass? More on that in a minute. Okay? But here's what I want to go after. Your purpose is at the core of all those things. We have to keep the main thing, or we'll get our identity from what we do instead of who we are. Okay? If you don't want to burn out, here's the recipe for not ever burning out. You have a relationship with Jesus, right? That's the key. The key is, I mean, how did Jesus manage to not get burnt out? I mean, the weight of the world was on his shoulders. Have you read the book of Mark? Here's what the book of Mark says. He showed up at somebody's house, and check this out. The whole city came to hear Jesus. Can you imagine if all of Green Bay showed up tonight? That's what it was like. The whole city showed up to hear Jesus. The guy was under a little bit of pressure. Right? But here was the secret of Jesus. He only did what he saw the Father doing, right? That is the anointing at work. Bill Johnson says this amazing thing. He says a lot of amazing things, but this is amazing. He says, I never want to be more famous than I am anointed. I never want to be more famous than I am anointed, okay? You can get addicted to ministry. You can get addicted to doing the stuff. And listen, we're going to talk to you about doing the stuff. That's what my friend Scott Thompson is all about. He is an activator. You are going to do stuff that you never thought you could do. That's just who he is, right? And those are the things we want. But what I want to do is lay a groundwork for you. You know, we're talking about the theme of the conference is accelerant. Well, I want to keep the fuel connected to you so that accelerate, or that whatever I'm trying to say right now, the accelerant never stops. Like, it's not like you're going to burn really fast, then you're going to burn out. You have what we would call in California a sustainable resource. We're all about sustainable resources. We're horrible at managing them, but we talk a really good game, okay? I speak life over California in Jesus' name. Yeah. You can help me with that. Yeah. No, you are a sustainable resource. A sustainable resource is a resource that replenishes itself at the same rate that it's being used. See, John 3:34 says that you've been given the Holy Spirit without measure. That means you have as much of the Holy Spirit as you want. You have a sustainable resource. He is with you all the time. At all times, he is with you. In the good, in the challenging, in the times of sadness, in the times of, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. He's there to help teach you who you are, to teach you what divine purpose is all about. I was listening to, how many know Andy Stanley? Ever heard of Andy? I'm pretty impressed by Andy. He's an amazing teacher. And he was saying that one of his mentors told him this great piece of wisdom. He said, listen, Andy, here's one thing you got to know. There's two things everybody needs. They all need to eat and live indoors. Okay. They all need to eat and live indoors. Okay. Now, that may not mean a whole lot to you, but I run a discipleship school, and that makes tons of sense. That's going to be part of how I preach to them next year. You guys all need to eat and live indoors, okay? I know you're confused. Just follow me, okay? 4:30 in the morning, remember? Okay, so here's what that looks like. Here's what I mean by that. Purpose to us often looks like, what is that great and amazing thing that I'm going to do for the Lord? And I never think I'm living in my purpose unless I'm doing some great and amazing thing. But sometimes you're in a season of just doing what you need to do to live and eat and live indoors. Right, I got that wrong. But you know what I'm saying. Here's the translation. I work at this job that I don't like. I'm not living in my purpose. I'm just paying the bills. Okay, well, what happens if you stop paying the bills? How is your quality of life? Not so good, right? So you're living in your purpose, okay? Because part of it is you just learning how to do everyday life in connection to heaven. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Like, I know this isn't like deep spiritual stuff, but the problem is we're living for this high, and it doesn't always happen that way. Here's my struggle. You guys know because I shared it with you last time I was here. My wife went through 5 years of a nervous breakdown. There was not a lot of highs. In fact, there were none. Okay? And in the 5 years, I was wondering where God went. I pretty much thought he forgot my address. And the thing is that some of the most powerful connection times with the Lord happened during that time, but I didn't recognize them because I was too focused on wanting the outcome that I wanted. I don't know if this is making any sense to you, but sometimes you're in what you think is that dead-end job that you're just going to and punching your time in, but God's doing a work in you, and he's doing stuff that he's trying to get your attention, but you're too focused on the outcome and where you're going that you're not seeing what he's doing. See, living in your purpose sometimes isn't that extraordinary, powerful, awesome time with God that you read about in the Bible sometimes. Think about Abraham for a minute, okay? Abraham doesn't have the Bible. Did you know that? He didn't have the Bible to refer back to, right? Abraham is just minding his own business, building idols, making idols for people to worship. And God shows up and was like, hey, did you know? This is me paraphrasing if you didn't know. It's God says, hey, I'm really God. And follow me into the wilderness. This will be great. I'm going to make a great nation of you. I'm going to bless all the nations through you. Okay, I want you to see this for a second. That's crazy. That's crazy. Okay, and Abraham goes into the wilderness, right? He does it. He obeys God. And there's a lot of trial and error, right? Because he's new to all this thing. You know, he runs into circumstances, and, you know, one time he's going into this foreign land of the Amalekites, and he's like, oh, they're going to kill me because my wife is really beautiful. So here's his solution. I'm going to tell them she's my sister. Okay, I want you to understand, he doesn't just do that once, he does it twice. Okay, so he's trying to find solutions to a problem that he perceives. And here's what God does. That's cute, Abraham. That's a problem. Because here's the thing. I'm in relationship with you. And if that guy touches your wife, he's a dead man. So you better tell him the truth, right? And he walks him through that. Now, none of that is super, super glamorous, right? None of that is. It's just Abraham learning about God, learning about how God speaks and learning about what he does. And that's what you're learning every day. That's the journey that you're on with God, where you're learning how to walk in step with him. And sometimes it's not that crazy, you know, altar time where you got rocked by God. It's not me getting prayed for by Carol Arnott at the conference where I get hit by the Holy Spirit and like never I've been hit before. Sometimes it's just you walking every day, learning to value and recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, even in the most mundane things. I was telling Ryan this earlier. I told you guys earlier, I'm a go with the flow person. And I'm married into, if you've ever met Chris Valentin, he is a high D. He is on the disc test, he's very driven personality. And I am not. Okay, I am chill. Okay, now his daughter is just like him. She is very driven. That's why we're together. Okay, in fact, I'm not going to go there. Whatever. So, this one Friday is our day off, and my wife has horses, and she loves to ride horses. And this Friday morning, she decided she was going to go ride horses, and I'm like, yes, this is awesome. I love my wife, but I'm going to have the whole day to myself. This will be amazing. I am going to play video games all day long and eat food. I'm not into fasting, if you couldn't tell. Just saying. Stupid joke. Whatever. Okay. So I'm thinking, this will be awesome. I'm going to get up. I'm going to do whatever I want. So I get up that morning and I make some breakfast. And after breakfast, this is what I hear in my spirit. Hey, Marty, you should take the trash. The bin is full. It would be a real blessing to your wife. You should take the trash. That's what I hear in my spirit. And I'm thinking, that has to be the devil. I'm going to rebuke that. That's what I think. And so it keeps coming back to you. Marty, you should take the trash. So I'm like, okay. Listen, I'll take the trash. That'll be awesome because then I can at least say I accomplished something today when Jamie comes home. It'll be awesome. So I go, I put all the trash in the truck, and I take the truck to the dump, dump the trash, and I get home, and I'm excited. I'm like, all right, I got tons of time. I did that pretty quickly. All right, so what's next? You know, here we go. I'm going to go have some fun. And the Lord's like, why don't you go mow the lawn? Now, you got to understand, we have animals, and we have an acre and a half of property, and so it doesn't take like 20 minutes. It takes a while. So I'm like, okay, all right, I'll do it. So I go and I mow the lawn. And then I get done with that. And I'm like, okay, this is all. I really scored brownie points with Jamie. Yay, this is good. And then I get inside the house and the Lord's like, why don't you do the dishes? And it was like one thing after the other. I mean, laundry was involved. I got to the end of the day. My wife comes home. She's incredibly happy with me. But I have not done what I want. I didn't vegetate like I wanted to, okay? And so I start having a conversation with the Lord, and he's like, Marty, you pride yourself on the whole go with the flow thing. Like, you pride yourself on that. But here's the thing, you're missing an opportunity to live out of your purpose. And I'm teaching you about living in purpose, living with a purposeful mindset that you're going to go after the things that I'm putting in front of you that you're dismissing because you're so focused on whatever it is that you're focused on. Okay, let me end with this. I don't know how I'm doing on time, but are we sure? Okay. Turn to the book we never read, Acts chapter 1. I know I'm all over the place. I apologize. Hopefully it's speaking to someone. Tomorrow night will be better, I promise. All right. That was shameless pandering. Yes. All right. So let's go to verse 4. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the epochs or epochs or however the heck you say that word, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about being witnesses to the earth. But right now, what I want to focus on is that word epoch or epoch. That word in the Greek is the word kairos. Anybody heard of that before? Okay. There are three words for time in the Greek. Two of them I will focus on tonight. The first one is kairos, and the second one is chronos, okay, where we get chronology from, right? Chronology or chronos is this. It is existence. It's what I just told you. It's like I'm at that dead-end job. I'm just doing life. I'm just going about my day. I'm minding my own business. I'm just existing. That's chronos. That's most of our life, okay? And then there's these incredible epic moments that sometimes we'll miss because we get so inundated with living in chronos. But at a certain time, eternity invades chronology, and that's called kairos. But we get so caught up in just doing our stuff that if you're not careful, you'll miss it. My story is this. My wife was sick, and I didn't know how to fix her. And chronos for me looked like, what do I do to fix my wife? How do I get her well? Because the quality of my life is not good. That was my chronos. And the Lord behind the scenes, Jehovah Sneaky, was like, you think your wife's sick, but you don't know you're sick. I shared this with you last time I was here. I just want you to hear the outflow of what this looks like. And so he started doing a work in me. Here's how he started doing it. He just started doing it by teaching me how to be a good dad and to serve my family Do the little things. Go to my kids' parent-teacher meetings. Go to their games. Hang out with them. Do things with them. Be a dad to them. That's what he was teaching me. And what I didn't know is that he was healing my heart through those things because he was teaching me about love. And in the end result of this process, it was like years into this process, I remember sharing this with you the last time, I'm building towards something, just trust me, okay? I walk into my room and the Lord asked me a question. He said, do you know what's healing your wife? And when the Lord asks you a question, the answer is, I don't know. Just telling you, okay? I said, I don't know. He said, it's the love that you have for her that's healing her, okay? That was a Kairos moment. That was eternity invading chronology. That's what he wants to do for you, okay? You're just going about your life. You're wondering what you're going to do when you grow up. And he's like, just walk with me. Just walk with me. Pay attention to the things I'm doing every day because I'm speaking every day. I'm doing things in your life every day and you're not paying attention to them. You're dismissing them because it's not the big picture thing that you're looking for. It's not you doing that amazing thing that's going to get you that international ministry. Do you know why I'm involved in discipleship? Because I believe Jesus wants to change people. I believe we were born for transformation. I used to think I was involved in discipleship so I could build a ministry and travel like my dad's. That's what I thought. I want to be like Bill and Chris. Now, I don't want to do that. Do you know why I come here? Because I love these people. I love the relationship I have with Ryan. I love your team. I believe in what you guys are doing. I wouldn't do it if I didn't have a relationship. I'm not about going from conference to conference. As much as I like conferences, I'd rather have a relationship. That's just the way I'm built. It doesn't mean what they do isn't important because they're on a mission that's impacting the globe and they're being faithful to what they've been called to do. But I'm learning to be faithful to what I'm called to do by living in step with my purpose, living in connection with the Holy Spirit who's telling me, Marty, this is who I've created you to be. Nobody can teach you this. Nobody can impart this to you because nobody else in the world has this expression of God on the earth. You have a unique expression of what the Holy Spirit looks like. And what we do, unfortunately, is make idols, right? Think about Moses going up the mountain. Remember, that was, and we'll get more into this tomorrow night, but remember when God invited the people to the mountain? Remember that? He said, consecrate yourselves because tomorrow I'm going to meet with you. Do you remember what their response was? Their response was, that's scary. We don't want to do that. Can we send Mo? Right? And so they sent Moses up the mountain. That is one of the greatest tragedies in Israel's history. Because he was inviting them into relationship. And they said, we don't want to do that because we're afraid of you. Here's the result of that. They ended up with rules instead of relationship. They ended up with performance instead of relationship. God wants you to have a relationship, and he gave you his Spirit to invite you into that process, to say, I want to meet with you. I want to talk to you. I want to show you things about you that you would never even believe, and I want to make you the person that you were destined to become. That's what purpose looks like. It's just you being true to who God created you to be. So let me end with this. Aaron, that's your cue. I want to have a time in a few minutes where we just pray that the Holy Spirit would just whack you, okay? And that it would be about you being refreshed tonight. That's really what I want to go after. But I want to go after the practical because sometimes we dismiss it. Guys, I'm challenged in this way. I told you my background. I told you that I grew up in very conservative Christianity. We didn't really have a whole lot of faith that God was talking to us. And so what God has had me do is trust him for, you know, the little ways in which he's speaking, okay? I just want you to see this, okay? I'm on a walk. I've been, believe it or not, I'm getting healthy, going to the gym. I'm lifting weights. Those things are heavy. But I have been, okay? And so I've been going on walks, and I'm going about my walk, and on the ground, I live close to the ocean, there's a little shell. And I'm going to walk by it. I'm just like, eh, it's just a shell on the ground. I see shells all the time. So I go to walk by, and the Holy Spirit says, no, I want you to go back, and I want you to pick it up. And I'm like, what? I even talked myself out of it. In fact, I walked around the corner, and the Holy Spirit's like, no, go back. This is how challenged I am. So I go back, and I pick up the shell, and I put it in my pocket, and we have a Wednesday night class that I teach, and so I go to my Wednesday night class, and I ask everybody, does a shell mean anything to anybody? And for a while, there's a bit of silence, because I think they were all looking for, like, you know, the spiritual significance of what a shell might mean or whatever. And then finally, this one lady sheepishly raises her hand. She's like, I collect shells. And so I gave her the shell, okay? There wasn't this great, amazing, like, God spoke to me about the shell, and, you know, here's the prophetic word that comes from it. It just was a blessing to her. God was trying to teach me, pay attention to those little things that you dismiss all the time. Doesn't seem significant to you because there wasn't that huge thing that came out of it. But sustainability looks like I regularly have connection with the Holy Spirit. I look for what he's doing. I pay attention to how he's speaking to me and the things that he wants to tell me about who he is and what he does. That's what I have for you.
Well, hey, everybody. Just have a quick administrative thing. If you have not registered and paid up, could you put your hand up for the conference? Oh, that's everybody, because it's a free conference. Weird, right? I just like doing this stuff. We are a people that manifest radical generosity. Like, I don't know if you realize that, but we at Elevation, our culture is we're a people of radical generosity. And when we do things like this, we're not charging, we're not making people register, we're not doing that stuff. And it's partly because that's a lot of work and that kind of sucks. We're not hyper-administrative. And it's also because it's an opportunity to manifest God's generosity. So when we do things in a conference like take a free will offering, we're giving you an opportunity to manifest generosity, to look like heaven. Are you tracking with me? Is this making sense? So we're going to take a moment in this service, and we're going to receive an offering. This goes to cover the cost of the conference. This goes to bless our speakers that have come in. And if you don't want to give, don't. I'm not going to sleep poorly because you didn't. Pastor Ryan might. We'll pray for him. He totally won't. But if God's leading you to give something, I just want to invite you into that partnership with heaven, okay? So if the ushers could come forward, we're going to receive that offering. And God, we just thank you for the word that was delivered tonight. God, we thank you for the transformation that you're doing through it, God, for the doors of change that you're opening for each person gathered here, for anybody watching online, God, thank you that there are things to grab a hold of that pull us forward into what you're calling us to. God, bless this offering. Let it go deep. Let it go deep, God, into this region, Lord, into every house that's represented here tonight, God. Let this be a shaking moment, Lord, as we manifest your generosity. So we bless this offering and just thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, well, while they're passing the bags, let me set this up. So I've been teaching on purpose for probably the last 5 or 6 weeks at our church in Eureka. And the Lord's been, like, I'm a teacher, so I like just, like, giving you a bunch of information. And then I let other people do the end stuff. Like, I turn it over. But as part of this whole purpose thing, the Lord's been challenging me on stepping outside my box and creating that atmosphere. And so a couple weeks ago, I had finished a message. I don't even, it was connected to purpose. I don't remember what the message was. And I was going to turn it over to my wife because my wife is amazing and she can bring down heaven. And when I was about to do it, the Holy Spirit said, "Don't you dare." Because what I was trying to do was not be uncomfortable. So I didn't know how to finish it. So I just started praying. And then I was silent for like a long period of time. It was like uncomfortable. I'm one of those people, like, if it's silent, I'm going to say something because I got to fill the space, right? But it was uncomfortable. And I felt like the Lord was telling me to do it. And so as this silence was happening, all of a sudden, this woman in the audience starts breaking out in a prophetic song, and people start going into the aisles and just falling out into the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was like the craziest thing. Listen, I had nothing to do with it. I was uncomfortable at the front. That was me. I was like, what the heck's going on right now? It was amazing. Do you know why? Because the Holy Spirit's really good at his job. He just does what he wants to do. So I'm going to pray a really powerful prayer. Ready? And then I'm going to believe that the Holy Spirit just wants to minister to people tonight. Okay? Can we do that? So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come. In fact, we have it on good authority that you've been here all night and that you want to show us what our purpose is. You want to show us what we were born for. You want to invite us into deeper divine relationship. You want to create that sustainable resource within us that we never experience burnout because we're so connected to your presence. That we do what the apostles did, and that is that they only did what they saw and heard because they were continually connecting with you. They had learned from Jesus what it was like to stay connected to you. And so, Holy Spirit, tonight I ask that you would pour out refreshing on those who are here. Pour out your peace, pour out your love. Begin to speak to them about what you've created them for. Show them just how deep and how wide and how great your love is for them. Show them that every negative in their life has been targeted by you for an upgrade. Show them where you've been in the place of that resistance, in the place of those areas where we don't have answers, but you've been there and you're walking us through those things, even though we don't know you're there. So Holy Spirit, have your way. So I'm feeling like we should respond. Bill Johnson talks about physical obedience bringing spiritual release. So here's what I'm going to ask. If you're here tonight and you're like, I just need a fresh touch, I want you to come to the front. I just want you to make a move and come to the front. That's good. So here's what we're going to do. I told you earlier that you have the same Holy Spirit that Bill Johnson has, Chris Valentin has. So here's what we're going to do. You lay hands on the person next to you, and you just bless them. Just bless them.
Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.